الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, most of us will be aware that the month of Rajab, what is referred to as one of the Ashur-e-Hurum, one of the four sacred months of the Islamic calendar. This month has begun. We are taught the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the onset of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make this dua that, oh Allah, bless us in these two months, that is the months of Rajab and Sha'ban, and cause us to remain alive to experience the month of Ramadan. This month of Rajab normally is synonymous with that great mu'ajiza and miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which quite clearly enunciated, established his maqam, his status, the fawqiyat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him over all the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. That is the Mi'raj, wherein he performed imamat of all the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And this in fact became the misdaq, the living reality of that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherein he said, Ana nabiyul anbiya, that I am the Nabi of even the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Occasion of Jumu'ah, most of us will be aware, it is impossible to go into details with regards to the Mi'raj. Various masajids, majalis, seerah gatherings, etc. will take place. Jalsas will be held, wherein this great miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be recounted. However, it is my intention that few of the asbaq, few of the lessons, few of the haqaiq and realities of Mi'raj which are pertinent to us, for us to make muzakara and remind ourselves about them. Because unfortunately, what we observe, that to a very large extent we have become an ummah, that we tend to get hyped up, we tend to get motivated by occasions and rituals. But illa mashallah, majority of the time, the reality of those occasions and the asbaq and the lessons that those occasions require us to revisit, that unfortunately tends to escape us. Many ulama were of the opinion that this Mi'raj, on the one hand, was a form of consolation for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Consolation in the sense that two or three events occurred prior to the Mi'raj that were very hard and very difficult upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst them, one was the loss of his beloved uncle Abu Talib. It is impossible to mention the incident of Abu Talib without us realizing the value of the iman which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. That this was Ahle Bayt, Ahle Rasul, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not just any uncle. An uncle who had devoted his entire life to the khidmah and service of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allama Suyuti rahimullah in his Qasais al-Kubra, he mentions the incident that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 12 years of age, a young boy, the Quraysh formed a delegation, a trade delegation that went to Syria. On the way they passed by a place where there was a monk, an ascetic, by the name of Bukhaira. He was known as Bukhaira Rahib. The word Rahib means ascetic or monk. This person used to live in a tree, and for years and years and years he had cut himself off from society. He was engaged primarily in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one had even seen him. When this kafla and caravan of the Quraysh came to his area and they camped nearby, all of a sudden Bukhaira sends an invitation to this kafla that I've prepared meals, I want you to come. This raised the status of this kafla, this caravan, in the eyes of all the people of that area. Because they said, this man has never come in public and here he is inviting you all. So with much pomp, they prepared themselves for this dawat. They left the 12-year-old boy Muhammad to look after the camels and they presented themselves. When Bukhaira came out of his soma'a, his worship place, first question he asked is that, where is the youngster? So they said, we left him behind to look after the camels. He became upset and angry. And he said, you fools, it is because of that youngster that I invited you all. Send for that youngster. When the youngster, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 12 years of age, as he approaches, whatever little shade there was, this kafla had taken it. So there was no shade, there was only the glaring, direct heat of the sun for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sit in. The moment he sits in the glare of the sun, the clouds move to cover and to shade the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This became evident, everyone could see this. So Bukhaira addressed them. In the riwayat of Suyuti it is mentioned, he said to them, have you observed what has happened? He said, this boy did not pass by a single tree, but that tree made sajda to him. And this is what would happen with the previous Anbiya alayhim as-salam. The clouds would shade and would cover them. Then he addressed Abu Talib and he said, who is this youngster? Abu Talib said, this is my son. Such was the bond of affection for Abu Talib had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bukhaira says, you are speaking lies. My scriptures have revealed to me that the father of this boy, his death preceded his birth. You cannot be his father. Abu Talib said, yes, what you are saying is correct. I am not his father, I am his uncle. But I love him more than my own children. Cutting the incident short, Bukhaira said, I fear that if the Jews come to know about this youngster, they will try to harm him, take him back to Makkah Mukarramah for his safety and security. Abu Talib, many, many occasions was given indications that this is a Nabi of Allah. Despite all this, despite his love, despite his reverence, despite the honor that he gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such love and devotion he had that Abu Talib was prepared to lay his life down for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Shi'ab Abi Talib, in the valley of Abu Talib, when the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were boycotted for 3 years, their food, their water, their drink, everything had been cut off. They were not allowed to trade also. In the books of history, the incident is mentioned. The little baby Fatima grabs hold of the dress of her mother, sobbing and crying, Ummi al-Atash, Ummi al-Atash, Ummi al-Atash. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. There was no food, there was no water. The entire purpose of this boycott was one thing only. They approached Abu Talib. They said, we will restore you back to Makkah. We will restore the position of the Bani Hashim. We will allow you to trade. We will restore your wealth. We will restore your commercial rights. Everything. One condition. Hand over Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us. Otherwise face a lingering death of starvation and ostracization. What was the reaction of Abu Talib? He mentioned a poem. What is referred to as Qasida Lamiya. 90 couplets. Few of them. كذبتم وبيت الله نبزا محمدا ولما نطاعن دونه ونناضلي ونسلمه حتى نصرى حوله ونذهل عن أبنائنا والحلائل وأبيض يستسقى الغمام بوجهه ثمال اليتامى عصمة للأرامل. The crux of what he said, you want to harm Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you want me to hand over my nephew. He says, you will have to slaughter every one of us. You will have to form a mountain of our corpses before you will touch one hair on the body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kafir, without iman, this type of devotion, this type of love, this type of allegiance he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, because the talab for hidayat was not there, Abu Talib leaves the world despite the effort that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, begging him, beseeching him, that, oh my uncle, recite the kalima once, recite the kalima once, I will be a witness for you in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Talib is deprived. On one occasion they come to Abu Talib and they say to him, if you will not stop your nephew, then na'uzu billah, we are going to kill him despite your protection. Abu Talib becomes upset, worried. He sends for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says to him, oh my nephew, stop this, what you are doing. What did they have a problem with? This is one of the lessons of Rajab. This is one of the asbaq and the haqaiq for us to understand. What did they have a problem with? They did not have a problem with his ibadat and his worship. Before Nubuwwat, he would worship Allah in Ghari Hira. They had no problem with it. They loved him. They used to call him Al-Amin, As-Sadiq. What they had a problem with was this da'wah towards Allah. This calling towards Allah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing. Inviting humanity to be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannah. That responsibility of da'wah that by the qasam of my Allah was given to every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through the barakat of his khatm nubuwwat, every ummati had to become a da'i, an inviter towards Allah. Today this ummat has turned its back on that responsibility. This is what they had the problem with. What does Abu Talib say? Oh my nephew, stop this da'wah. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Ma ana bi aqdar min an ada ma bu'ithtu bihi min an yush'ila ahadukum min hadhihi ash-shamsi shu'latan nar. He said, my uncle, it is easier for me to hold a burning coal, a flame of fire in my hand. That is easier for me. Let my whole body burn. I am prepared for that to happen. But to give up this da'wah, to give up this mission, to give up this risalat, to give up calling humanity towards Allah, that I can never do. What is the response of Abu Talib? فَاسْدَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ لَمْ تُصِبْكَ سَبَابَةٌ وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَقَدْ كُنْتَ قَبْلُ أَمِينًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدْ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ حَذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمِحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. Listen with the ears of Iman. Abu Talib, what does he say? He says, continue my nephew, no harm will come to you. You are truthful, you have always been truthful. And then Abu Talib says, I know that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of every religion. If it were not for the fear of the taunts of the women of Quraysh, that out of the fear of death I abandoned the religion of my forefathers, I would have gladly accepted your religion. Abu Talib in his heart knew the reality. He refused to accept this kalima. He died on that condition. Ala deen Abdul Muttalib. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hurt by this. Quran is revealed, innaka la tahdi man ahbab walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha. Oh my Nabi, you also cannot give hidayah to whom you want. You also cannot give hidayah to whom you want. Walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha. Allah gives hidayah to whom Allah wants to give hidayah. What was the outcome for Abu Talib? Lesson of Rajab. What was the outcome for Abu Talib? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, inna aghwana ahli an-nari adaban la rajulun yudau fi aqmasi qadamayhi jamratan yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a person will be in Jahannam. Two coals will be placed underneath his feet. Such will be the intensity of the two coals that his brains will start boiling. مَا يَرَىٰ أَنَّ أَحَدًا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُ عَذَابًا. He will think to himself, no one else in Jahannam is suffering like me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَإِنَّهُ لَأَهْوَنُهُمْ عَذَابًا. This is the lightest azab of Jahannam. This is the lightest azab of Jahannam. And this azab will be given to Abu Talib. His azab will be lightened because of the khidmah, love and devotion for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he also will have to remain khalidina fiha abada, forever and ever in Jahannam. Why he was deprived of iman? What price tag are we going to put on this iman that Allah has given us? Have we made dua for it? Most of us were born in Muslim homes, born in the lap of Muslim mothers. Before we even understood what we were saying, our mothers were saying to us, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, and we repeated after that. What is the value of this iman? Unfortunately today, that reality has been lost to the ummah. One was the loss of Abu Talib. There's no time to go into details. The other was the loss of Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. The other was the incident of Taif. Ulama say it was a mountain of grief, of hardship, of difficulty that had come at one time on the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a form of consolation. As a form of consolation, this miracle of Mi'raj. What was this miracle? What was the distance? What was the extent to which Allah opened up His Qudrat and His power for His beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Few years ago in the Middle East, there was a party. One of the royal family, one of his sons, one of the princes had been accepted to become an astronaut. They were celebrating and making a party. What was the theme of the party? The first Arab in space. There was one alim, one scholar there. He says, excuse me gentlemen, you are making a mistake. This is not the first Arab in space. This youngster will not be the first Arab in space. They said, what are you talking about? They said, who was the first Arab in space? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but not with an astronaut suit, not with some scientific and technological advancement. Such was this distance. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions the riwayat. In his Bidayah wal Nihayah, that on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Sahaba Ikram, Hal tadrun kam bayna as-samaa'i wal ard? O my Sahaba, do you know the distance between the earth and the first heaven? Sahaba were not like you and I. Somebody goes to university, gets a few labels, few titles, few degrees, PhD and whatever it is, writes a few theses and feels that he is the Allama of the age. He feels that he knows everything. Sahaba were not like you and I. They understood the limitations of the human intellect. What Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah says you were given very little knowledge. A group of German scientists spent 25 years, millions of dollars, exhaustive research studying what? Studying one cell in the human body. In the pancreas, that cell that produces insulin. After 25 years of exhaustive research, they threw in the towel. They said, we cannot understand the function of one cell. Allah has made this human being a composition of 100 trillion cells. Inside each cell, 1 million, the size of the cell, is the DNA of the cell. That DNA is made up of 3.5 billion nucleotides. 3.5 billion characteristics. It is said if the information contained in the DNA of one cell had to be recorded, you need 900 encyclopedias, each one 500 pages long. If the DNA of one cell had to be opened, if the DNA of the 100 trillion cells of the body had to be pooled together, it will fit inside one ice cube. If it had to be opened up, it will form a rope from this Masjid al-Hilal in Durban to the sun and back 400 times. 80 billion miles long is the DNA of one human being. Such is the complexity of Allah's creation. Team of scientists, they couldn't understand the function of even one cell. Today we feel, went to university, we got a few titles, now we know everything. We question Quran, we question Hadith, we allow our logic to rule ourselves. Such is the ignorance of this human being. Sahaba put this to question by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you know the distance between the earth and the first heaven? With one voice, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam know best. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds, بَيْنَهُمَا مَسِيرَةُ خَمْسِ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ. From the earth to the first heaven is a distance of 500 years. Not our years. وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنَّ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day by your Rabb is 1,000 years of this life. 500 such years. وَمِنْ كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ إِلَى سَمَاءٍ مَسِيرَةُ خَمْسِ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ. From the first to the second, second to the third, third to the fourth, fourth to the fifth, fifth to the sixth, sixth to the seventh. Between each heaven, 500 years, 500 years, 500 years, 500 years, 500 years. وَفَوْقَ السَّمَاءِ السَّابِعَةِ بَحْرٌ بَيْنَ أَسْفَلِهِ وَأَعْلَاهُ مَسِيرَةُ خَمْسِ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ. above the seventh heaven is a sea, an ocean, the depths of it 500 years. ثُمَّ فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ ثَمَانِيَةُ أُوْعَالِ. Above that sea, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says are eight. This word in the riwayat comes أُوْعَال, which is the plural of wa'lun, which means mountain goats. What is he referring to? He's referring to the حَامِلِينَ عَرْشِ وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on that day, eight angels will be holding aloft the arsh of Allah. They are in the shape of mountain goats. They need to be in that shape to carry out their task. What is it to hold aloft the arsh of Allah? But they are not like our goats or our sheep. بَيْنَ رُكَبِهِنَّ وَأَذْلَافِهِنَّ مَسِيرَةُ خَمْسِمَيَةِ سَنَةٍ. From the knee to the ankle, the knee to the hoof of each of those angels, another 500 years. Muslim Sharif riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أُذِنَ لِي أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ عَنْ مَلَكٍ مِّن مَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ أَنَّمَا بَيْنَ شَحْمَةِ أُذُنِهِ إِلَىٰ عَتِقِهِ مَسِيرَةُ 700 سَنَةٍ. Allah gave me permission to tell you of just one of the eight angels holding aloft his arsh. From the earlobe to the neck of a normal person is 5 or 6 centimeters. From the earlobe to the neck of that angel is a distance of 700 years. ثُمَّ عَلَىٰ ذُهُورِهِمُ الْعَرْشِ. Then on their backs is the arsh of Allah. This space, this distance, we cannot imagine it. We cannot even envisage it. It is said this universe is so vast. This is Sama'ud Dunya, underneath the first heaven. If one has to travel at the speed of light, light travels at 186,282 miles per second, 300,000 kilometers per second. If you travel at that speed in 1 year, what they call a light year, you will cover a distance of 9.5 trillion kilometers. They estimate that this universe is more than 100 million light years. This is all Sama'ud Dunya. Above it are seven heavens, then a sea, then the arsh of Allah, then the kursi of Allah. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in a space suit, not in an astronaut outfit, but in his kurta and lungi in Makkah Mukarrama, in one night time is stopped, the universe is stopped. He's taken physically, bodily, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, through the seven heavens. First heaven he meets Adam alayhi salam. Second heaven Yahya and Isa alayhi salam. Third heaven Yusuf alayhi salam. Fourth heaven Idris alayhi salam. Fifth heaven Harun alayhi salam. Sixth heaven Musa alayhi salam. Seventh heaven Ibrahim alayhi salam. Above that, beyond that, till he finally reaches Sidratul Muntaha, a tree, the beauty and magnificence of it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, is beyond description. When he reaches that point, Jibreel says to him, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot go any further. No creation of Allah is allowed to go beyond this point. If I, Jibreel, have to transcend one hair's breadth, one hair's span beyond this point, then Jibreel also will be burned to ashes. There is only permission for one creation of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to go beyond this point. Qadi Ayaz rahimahullah, in his Shifa, he mentions the riwayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ka'b Ahbar radiallahu anhu is the narrator, Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Faraqani Jibreel, Faraqani Jibreel, Jibreel left me. I was totally, completely alone. I had gone to a point no other creation of Allah had ever reached. I became afraid. It was black, it was pitch black, totally silent. All of a sudden, وَانْقَطَعْتِ الْأَصْوَاتِ, total silence, all of a sudden. فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي, فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي, I heard the voice of my Allah. I heard the voice of my Allah addressing me directly. لِيَهْدَى رَوْعُكْ, لِيَهْدَى رَوْعُكْ. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Ya Habibi, udnu, udnu, udnu. Oh my beloved, oh my beloved, venture even further, venture even further, venture even further. Kamal-e-qurb, Kamal-e-qurb, the closeness with Allah that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached, no other creation had reached that maqam or that status of qurb with Allah. Conversation takes place. Like I said, occasion of Jummah, is impossible to go into details. Impossible to go into details. part of that conversation, Ya Rabbi, ittakhadhta Ibrahim khalila, wa ataytahu mulkan azima, wa kallamta Musa taklima, wa ataytahu Dawood mulkan azima, wa alanta lahu al-hadith, wa ataytahu Sulaiman mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di, wa sakharta lahu al-jinna wal-insa wal-riyaha wal-shayateen, wa ahyayta li Isa al-mawta, famadha ja'alta li? He said, oh my Allah, oh my Allah, you spoke directly to Musa alayhi salam, you made Ibrahim alayhi salam your Khalil, you softened lead for Dawood alayhi salam, you gave Sulaiman alayhi salam a kingdom the like of which no other Nabi, no other creation had ever received. You subjugated the jinnat, the shayateen, insan for Sulaiman alayhi salam. You brought the dead to life for Isa alayhi salam. فَمَاذَا جَعَلْتَ لِي? Oh my Allah, what have you kept for me? Allah addressed him, أَوَلَيْسَ قَدْ أَعْتَيْتُكَ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ? Have I not given you better than all this? Have I not given you better than all this? Adam Safiullah, Ibrahim Khalilullah, Musa Kalimullah, Isa Ruhullah, Amma Anta, Amma Anta, Fahabibullah. You are the beloved of Allah. You are the beloved of Allah. Wa Alla Dukir, Illa Dukirta Ma'i. And from now till Qiyamah, my name will not be taken except that your name will be taken with my name. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Details are there. Read the kitab, attend the majalis. My respected brothers, what was the sabab? What was the haqiqat? What was he given? What was the gift of Mi'raj? What was the gift of Mi'raj? What did he come back with from Mi'raj? Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a gift. He was given a medium. He was given an instrument for his ummah. What is the maqam of this instrument? What is the effectiveness of this instrument? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah puts it beautifully. He says, lil abdi bayna yaday Allah mawqifan, mawqifun bayna yadayhi fi salatihi wa mawqifun bayna yadayhi yawm liqa'i rabbih. He says, Allah has given every ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam two occasions when he will present himself in Allah's court. When are these two occasions? One, 5 times every day, when Allah's Muazzin calls out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Hayal al-Salah, Hayal al-Falah, leave what you are doing, give up what you are doing, the time has come for you to fulfill the amanat with Allah, Al-Ahdu al-Ladhi, Bainana wa Bainahum al-Salah. My Nabi said, the contract between us and Allah is Salah, فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. He who has left out his Salah has committed kufr with Allah. He who has left out his Salah has committed kufr with Allah. Allah took his Habib on Mi'raj and presented him with this, so that when the slave of Allah stands on the musalla and says, Allahu Akbar, like the poet says, فَمَنْ قَامَ لِلْتَكْبِيرِ لَا قَتْهُ رَحْمَةٌ فَمَنْ قَامَ لِلْتَكْبِيرِ لَا قَتْهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَكَانَ كَعَبْدٍ بَابُ مَوْلَاهُ يَقْرَأُ وَصَالَ لِرَبِّ الْعَرْشِ حِينَ صَلَاتِهِ نَجِيَّا فَيَا تُوبَاهُ لَوْ كَانَ يَخْشَأُ. He says, when a person says, Allahu Akbar, in his salah, Allah's rahmat, Allah's mercy rains down upon him. His example, وَكَانَ كَعَبْدٍ بَابُ مَوْلَاهُ يَقْرَأُ. He has knocked, he's knocking, tap, tap, tap. Where is he knocking? He's knocking on the door of Allah's arsh. He's knocking on the door of Allah's arsh. Every distance, every boundary, every obstacle between him and Allah has been removed. Habibullah was taken on Mi'raj to be given the salah, which will allow every ummati to present himself directly in Allah's court. Directly in Allah's court. Directly in Allah's court. وَصَارَ لِرَبِّ الْعَرْشِ حِينَ صَلَاتِهِ نَجِيَّا. When he starts his salah, the poet says, he's in munajat, he's in direct communion with Allah. فَيَا تُوبَاهُ لَوْ كَانَ يَخْشَوُ. Mubarak, glad tidings to this ummat. Congratulations to this ummat. If they will have khushu in their salah, if they will be attentive in that salah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. How many verses of the Quran? Allah says, have khushu in that salah. Be attentive in that salah. You were given a wasta, a medium, a bridge that will transport you directly to Allah's court.
coming back to the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, each slave of Allah, two opportunities to present himself in Allah's court. One, 5 times a day on the musalla, and the other, يَوْمَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ, the day when you will have to meet Allah. The day of Qiyamah, the day when you will have to meet Allah. فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ هُوِنْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفِ الْآخَرِ. He says, if you fulfill the haqq and the right of this first standing, fulfill the haqq and the right of this 5 times salah, this presenting yourself in Allah's court, fulfill it now, fulfill this haqq. هُوِنْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفِ الْآخَرِ. Allah guarantees you, the second standing will be made easy for you. وَمَنْ إِسْتَهَانَ بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ وَلَمْ يُوَفِّ حَقَّهُ شِدِّدْ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفِ. If you will make a mockery out of this standing, like 95% of the ummah, 95% of the believing ummah, the azan falls on deaf ears. Asr salah after this Jummah, this masjid will be empty. Tomorrow's fajr, this masjid will be empty. How many other masajid? He said, فَمَنْ إِسْتَهَانَ بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ. Those who will mock and belittle this first standing, Allah protect us. اللهم احفظنا منه شدد عليه ذلك الموقف. He says, the second standing will be made difficult. The second standing on the day of judgment in Allah's court will be made this difficult. Mi'raj ka sabab, lesson of Mi'raj, very, very great lesson of Mi'raj. Not here to talk about incidents, get carried away. Mi'rajul Rasul, Rajab, read a few wazifas on that night. No, my respected brothers, sabak of Mi'raj, lesson of Mi'raj, that Ya Allah, from this day on till I die, not one salah will be made qaza. Not one salah will be made qada. And we will make effort on that salah to bring khushu and khuzu in the salah. Then we have understood Mi'raj. Then we have accepted the gift of Mi'raj. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.